morning, Your Honor, Daniel Meeks on behalf of I'll call them DES, Dynamic Environmental Services, DES. Anyway, there are numerous issues in this case. First, I guess, and foremost, I won't dwell on it much. It's in the brief, is that it's a 12C motion, a judgment on the pleadings. So your review is de novo, okay, just as the judges would be. And we said we think that what the judge did, he went beyond the pleadings in granting the motion. There are several bases for that in the brief. I won't have time to go through all of them. There are two distinct claims here. One on behalf of DES is for defense, for insurance coverage, contractual liability insurance coverage, for its duty to provide a defense and indemnity to Nucor Steel. And you saw in the Nucor Steel, whenever we or DES paid them, reimbursed them for legal fees and costs, they assigned their rights to us. So now I'm here on behalf of Nucor, Nucor as the assignee or signor of DES. Okay, so that the defense and indemnity claim is due to a contract called an independent contractor service agreement, an ICA, in paragraph 9. The contract says that DES will defend and indemnify Nucor for personal injury claims or property damage claims for that matter, resulting from the negligence of a DES employee or somebody DES is responsible for. So there it's provided coverage for the claims, it provides coverage for the claims of Mr. Como to Nucor. Nucor was also be named as an additional insured under the HDI.
You don't dispute that Nucor itself didn't notify the insurance company until that May 2019 date, right? As a factual matter.
Nucor? I don't think Nucor ever notified him at all. Because what happened was is this. Nucor wrote a letter on May 10th. The letter went to counsel for DES, who had been hired by or retained by HDI. The letter didn't even talk about providing. Now, the only thing that Nucor can do is they're just an additional insured under policy. Okay, they are not, and they're only additional insured for personal injury liability, property damage, okay, which is not an issue here, or also for advertising personal injury liability.
Like but the additional insureds are defined as insureds under the policy. The additional insureds are defined as insureds under the policy. Doesn't that put Nucor into basic equivalence with DES as insureds under the policy?
Okay. DES has contractual liability coverage. Nucor does not have that. Okay. And the judge even said that in his reasons for judgment, his ordering reasons. Okay. So when you get into it, they're an additional insured under the policy.
Yes.
Okay. Additional insureds under Section 2 are not named insureds or insureds under the policy. There, though, is an endorsement which says if you're an additional insured, you're considered insured under the policy.
You're insured.
But only for personal injury, property damage, and advertising.
But that's what we've got here, right? Personal injury.
Personal injury. But the coverage for the contractual liability, they don't have that coverage. The judge even found that. He said that the only thing Nucor could do if they wanted to deal with HDI would be to call upon them to provide them a defense.
Well, so tell me if I'm wrong about this, but it's not quite a catch-22, but it is an interesting situation, I guess, while we're here. There's this insured contract, and you were talking about the ICA paragraph 9.
Yes, sir.
The insured contract says DES indemnifies Nucor for any claims, damages, whatever liability that arises because of DES's employees or conduct, et cetera, right?
Yes.
Pretty standard. So DES has this indemnity obligation. The policy then says, we'll cover, I'm grossly paraphrasing, we'll cover indemnity obligations that are covered by an insurance contract or an insured contract, whatever the language is, But everybody agrees that this ICA is an insured contract that's encompassed by the policy, right?
Yes, sir.
But what the district court found, as I understand it, was, well, because Nucor is also an insured under the policy, the insurance contract really doesn't come into play as far as HDI is concerned.
Well, what the judge did is he wrote out the insurance coverage that DES paid for, the contractual liability coverage. That's what he did when he made that.
Because he said that Nucor was also an additional insured, and the language in the policy says that it doesn't, that an insurance contract that's encompassed in the policy doesn't apply as to an insured.
John, we get back into the...
In other words, it's kind of like, I mean, the parties kind of came into this with belt and suspenders. Nucor gets coverage under the insurance contract. Nucor gets coverage as an additional insured named in the policy. And the district court said, well, too clever by half, because Nucor is an additional insured, the insurance contract doesn't kick in. I mean, isn't that the problem in the case?
Well, that's one of several problems in the case.
Yes.
The position we take, and we spell this out, is Judge Wilson, is that first of all, okay, what the policy says is that Nucor is only an additional insured for personal injury, just forget about the property damage and the advertising, personal injury, for personal injury, okay? And the judge even said that the only thing Nucor could approach HDI was for additional insured status, that they don't have contractual liability coverage. So they are not insured under the contractual liability coverage. That's the position we take. And, or else what you've got is you've created an ambiguity there, because the specific wording of the policy, we follow it the way we argue it, and it makes sense, okay, is that when it comes to contractual liability, the Nucor is not an additional insured.
Well, that was going to be a question. Can Nucor be both? Or by the terms of the policy, like the district court analyzed, did Nucor effectively take itself out as a beneficiary under this insurance contract by also being an additional insured?
Well,
can they be both?
What Nucor does, well, actually, it's an additional insured. What Nucor does, and remember this now, Nucor never asked for insurance coverage from HDI. They asked for defense and indemnity from DES. And the letter went to DES, and then HDI responded to it by saying, we're going to make you an additional insured.
Well, yeah, I mean, the insurance company is categorizing Nucor as an additional insured. Nucor, as to DES, is categorizing itself or traveling under the insurance contract. But what the district court concluded in looking at the language is Nucor couldn't do that, because being an additional insured means that the insurance contract didn't come into play.
Well, and then what happens is the dilemma that it creates is this. Okay, Nucor comes in and they're an additional insured, and the insurance company says, well, we don't pay pre-tender, pre-notification attorney fees. All right. Well, and what did Nucor do whenever HDI said that? They went to DES and said, you got to defend and indemnify us, pay up $135,000, not $135,000. So, and then as the judge said, fine, now you've got, okay, DES has to pay the $135,000 because that's what the contract says, and everybody agrees on that.
Yes.
Okay. And now what you've done is if you agree, because that's an absurd, it's absurd that somebody who's paying for contractual liability coverage and also has to be required to make somebody who's additionally insured now has no coverage for the contractual liability.
Well, it's not absurd if the contractual obligation of DES isn't covered by the policy. In other words, nothing in the contract, the IAC says, well, DES is going to get insurance coverage, and the way DES is going to fulfill its obligations is through insurance proceeds. It just says DES indemnifies Nucor for any claims against Nucor. So if DES has this obligation under the contract, it doesn't necessarily follow that DES's obligations under the contract are covered by the policy. Isn't that where your argument breaks down?
Well, no. My argument is the policy does cover DES for that, because, again, it gets back to your additional insured, but only for personal injury coverage. You're not for contractual liability coverage. Okay, and if not, Louisiana law is strong, and it's very clear. If there's two reasonable interpretations, and it's the words that the HDI uses in their policy and in their endorsement, their endorsement where they change put Nucor in as an additional insured, but only for personal injury coverage. Only for personal injury. They're not insured for contractual liability coverage. And they've created an ambiguity there, and the ambiguity always goes to the insured and against the person who drafts the policy, HDI. So that's the position I would take on that. And the other thing
is, do you agree that to the extent Nucor is an additional insured, and to the extent the letter to DES in May of 19, whatever time it was, do you agree that to the extent that's notice to HDI under the policy, that defense cost or prosecution cost before that letter wouldn't be covered because they didn't give notice? Just traveling as an additional insured at this point.
I guess my problem is this, is because Nucor obviously had already told the counsel for DES, who you would soon would tell its insurer HDI, that we're going to want defense indemnity.
And but that's not the way that works. You can't assume that telling co-counsel or co-defendant's counsel anything would be noticed to the insurance company, could you?
Well, I would think this. If that attorney is retained by the insurance company representing the insured, he's got to keep the insured apprised of things, and you need to keep the insured apprised of it, too. There's a defense indemnity claim.
Where's your case that says an assumption like that and an inferential notice is sufficient to go back to pre-tender?
Well, I think when you get to a 12C position, okay, and it's all on the pleadings. Well, see, we're now getting into where I think the judge made a mistake, too, is he started actually making decisions. He said, well, obviously, like on the issue of waiver, for example, I don't think that HDI intended to waive the defense that it's raising that, you know, they're insured under the, that Nucor is insured under the contractual liability coverage. So, but he said, I don't think they intended to waive that, but that's, that's just what he was reading. He's reading or saying what he thinks HDI intends based on the complaint and the attachments to it. And you shouldn't have done that. So that's it now. Back to, and that needs to be back to, if you go with they're an insured under the contractual liability coverage, which basically means you don't have any contractual liability coverage if you're the named insured. If that's what you're doing, then I think the insurance company needs to tell you that that's the position you're taking, which they've never done. And we wrote them three letters, one and they're attached. One was August the 9th, one was August 16th, one was September 7th, where we tendered the claim to HDI. They never responded to the tender. So the best things that, you know, that are there, and that tells you what it was HDI thinking. Well, I think they intended not to waive it based on what? There's no evidence of that. That's why we had to have discovery. So
what do you want us to do?
Well, I think this, you need to go ahead and say, you look at it and say that the judge made several errors, okay? There's all spelled out in the original appellate brief we filed and also in the library. And it has to go back, and the discovery has to be conducted. And then if there's motions to be followed after the discovery is conducted, there'll be motions followed. If not, there'll be either a settlement or a trial.
So you think it should just go back because it was treated like summary judgment or something, or inferences were made based upon the pleadings that are not appropriate. Just for that reason alone.
Yes. Well, definitely.
That's one of your many arguments, yeah. But that would be a sufficient reason to send it back.
That's what you got to do. And the reason being because then you can't flip it to a 12C motion for us.
Right.
Okay, so I think, yeah, you got to send it back and say, okay.
We just taking the pleadings as they are. We got to get this case going.
Right.
That's what your position.
Yes.
Okay.
A couple of other things we the judge did hold and. To answer Judge Wilson, your question, he said there is no indication that Nucor, in its capacity as an additional insured under the HDI policy, ever directly tendered its defense to HDI. Nucor's tender letter to DS only for references the ICA and not the HDI policy. Now, if you look to also the Ingalls case that the judge cited, when the Fifth Circuit held that, and they said, you know, that the insurance company in that didn't have to pay legal fees and costs until it was called upon to provide a defense to the the name insured. And the, what the court said was, is we're not going to force, you know, it's illogical for the insurance company to force itself or have to force itself onto by providing coverage if the sophisticated insured, DES is a small company, Nucor is a big company, it's in multiple states. So
you got to wrap it up because you saved time for rebuttal, but you took the lights on. Thank you.
Good morning, Your Honors, and may it please the court. My name is Rodney LaCoste, and I represent HDI Global Insurance Company. As the court is aware, appellant seeks reversal of the trial court's granting of two 12C motions. I think the trial court, when we told them we would Judge African, we told him we were going to file a 12C motion, because those are pretty rare. So I suggest you dot your I's and cross your T's that it's not a motion for summary judgment. As this court noted in the Cotrer case, Rule 12C dismissal is appropriate course when a complaint on its face shows a bar to relief. And in this case, we have relied on the complaint from beginning to end in supporting our arguments, including the documents that are referenced in the complaint. And the complaint in this case is telling when it comes to what it shows us about the facts that are not in dispute, have never been in dispute. One is that we issued a policy by which Nucor was made an additional insured. That's not an issue. That same endorsement, as Your Honor recognized, also equates them with an insured. On May 10th, 2016.
Well, stop right there.
Sir.
So the question, I guess, in my mind is, could Nucor be both an additional insured and covered under the insurance contract that DES and Nucor entered?
Yes, Ron. And let me explain why I believe that position. If you look at the language of the contractual liability provision and the precise issue that is before the court today, which is attorney's fees, that is what addressed and what is taken out of the exclusion and therefore or accepted and taken out is this precise issue of attorney's fees cost. Solely for the purposes of liability assumed in an insured contract, reasonable attorney's fees and necessary litigation expenses incurred by or a party never been insured are deemed to be damages of bodily injury or property.
Your position is, I guess, an answer to my question is they can't be both. In other words, Nucor was an additional insured, therefore the insurance contract between DES and Nucor doesn't come into play here because Nucor isn't insured.
It gets us to the same place, I guess would be the best way for me to say. As an additional insured, they obviously have the rights of insured, which includes defense and indemnity, defense triggered when that defense is tendered.
Yes, but under the insurance contract, they don't have to give notice to HDI or anything like that. In other words, they give notice to DES, here we are, we're invoking the IAC, paragraph 9, we want coverage, we want you to indemnify us, DES. But your position is DES can't then come to HDI and say, reimburse me for this because Nucor is an insured.
Sure, correct.
So they can't be both.
Yes.
What about counsel opposite's argument that they were an additional insured for purposes of certain categories of harm, damages, cost, but that nonetheless left the insurance contract in place?
I believe you need to read them all together. There's no doubt, again, that they're insured under the policy via the additional insurance.
So by naming Nucor as an additional insured, they, I guess, inadvertently blew a hole through the insurance contract's coverage that they thought they were square with.
The two type coverages provided are the same in our mind, Your Honor.
Well, they're not the same, I guess, to the extent that the one obviates the other. In other words, by naming Nucor as an additional, if Nucor wasn't an additional insured, would there be any dispute that DES could recover the cost that it indemnified Nucor under the contract?
I believe then there would be an issue as to the degree of attorney's fees that would be owed.
Putting that aside, though, as far as quibbling about the amount of the liability would still be there for HDI to cover DES's indemnity of Nucor under the contract.
That's right.
So by naming Nucor as an additional insured, again, they either intentionally or unintentionally blew a hole through that insurance contract.
It impacted the coverage provided.
Yeah.
There's no question that it did.
I just want to be clear on the company's position as well.
Yes.
And of course, I know there's the consent to settle and all that sort of. I'm just talking in concept.
And there are a multitude of issues.
Sure.
Recognized, but I think the issue we start with, the issue that is central to the case, is when notice was provided to HDI of Nucor potentially or Nucor seeking a defense. And that wasn't until per the complaint, the May 10, 2019 date. And as Judge Afric noted, and I believe other judges in the Eastern District have recognized, and this court has recognized, that that is a very precise thing to put someone on notice, and that that was not done until May 10 of 2019. And when we were put on notice, HDI was put on notice, as the policy requires and as the law requires, we're responsible for attorney's fees from that date forward, which we offered to pay and was refused and rejected. The dispute from the beginning has been the other $100,000 or so that we refused to pay because we don't believe we're obligated to pay it under the policy or the law. And we believe that the law is clear on that issue and that our position is sound on that issue. And that's supported by the Gully case and then this court's decision in Peavy, which makes an important distinction between the Gully case and the Peavy case, and that being whether or not an insurer is denying liability or denying coverage, which is not what we have ever done in this case. We agreed to provide a defense and reserve rights based on the language in the policy, citing specific language in the policy, including the additional insured endorsement, which contains the language that we just discussed.
Just to be clear, your claim is that the insured Nucor has to notify. And that's what triggers the coverage.
Yes, Your Honor.
And your authority is Gully?
Gully, yes, Your Honor.
Where in Gully does the court say that?
I believe Gully stands for the premise that the obligation to provide a defense is not until notice is provided to the insurer.
To the insurer. But where does it say that that notice has to be provided by the insured?
I don't believe it is that specific, Your Honor, but the policy itself requires the insured to put the company on notice.
So you're talking about the text of the policy?
Yes,
it says it must be insured rather than just make sure it themselves must do it rather than they just must be notified. Because there's several events that could have been notification in this
could
case.
Could have been, and I think there is an issue about a March 18th email that discussed the potentially making that claim. That claim was never made. That was another party saying that they have this right, but they haven't decided, and no one is aware that they decided to exercise it. And I think Judge Afric recognized that case. He cited a case from Judge Zaney that if you have the right, that's one thing, but you have to put them on notice. If you want to retain your own attorney at your own expense, you can certainly do that. The insurance company cannot force counsel on you. It is not until you say, please provide me a defense, that obligation.
But just to be clear, you've acknowledged that Gully doesn't say it has to be the insured. You're saying it's the text of the insurance contract. Is that something you preserved in your brief? I certainly hear you arguing now, but
I believe we did, Your Honor. And I believe Judge Afric noted in his decision also refers to the specific notice requirements in the policy.
You know where in your brief you say that?
Our brief? I believe Judge Afric picked up on it, and I believe he picked up on it.
From what I can tell, your brief only argues case law, and that's the defect I see, is I'm not seeing that in the case law. You may be right ultimately, it's just not something that we're seeing in Louisiana law right now.
And we're discussing the notice provisions in the policy. I know they were addressed by Judge Afric, and it's our position that notice, and I don't believe the case law is clear about exactly what notice is.
Fair enough. You're saying at a minimum.
Whether it's about a policy or just simple understanding of notice,
right,
of what that is, and I believe what Judge Afric was saying is that a potential claim is not notice of a claim. You actually need to request the defense in order to trigger the obligations under the policy.
So that's why the notice of the personal injury complaint is not enough?
I believe you're referring to the provision that requires some form of notice. And
notice? I mean, the fact that you get sent the complaint that names you is not good enough? If I mail my insurance companies, I've been served with this complaint. You're saying the fact that I don't say, well, and by the way, you need to defend me, I'm just sending you notice, that's not notice?
That's exactly what happened with DES. We were sent a copy of a complaint and they requested a defense. DES, Nucor as an insurer, has that same obligation.
Right, but HDI is done as DES insurer, is Dynamics insurer, got the copy of the personal injury complaint that named Nucor.
Yes.
And so why isn't that good enough?
Because we don't know at that point that Nucor is even an additional insured on the policy. It's a blanket endorsement on the policy. But anyone with whom you have a contract is considered an insured. We don't know.
So at that point, you
DES
didn't know
has
that
a contract with. It could be Nucor, it could be.
Yeah, but Nucor's named as an additional insured in the policy. The company surely knows that.
They're not specifically named, no. It's a blanket endorsement. It doesn't, the policy itself has a box, and it says additional insureds, and it says anyone required under contract in that box. So there's
no
way.
But I thought the same people who negotiated that, I mean, that they knew that. That they said, oh, we're going to make Nucor an additional insured, and then all of a sudden Nucor is in this complaint that they're getting. I'm just trying to figure out why that's not adequate notice.
Because the insurance company doesn't know with whom DES has entered into contracts that require that they be named an additional insured.
Okay.
And this is practical day-to-day issues that insurance companies deal with, is they often issue policies that provide blanket coverage for any policy in which you are required to name someone as an additional insured.
Right. I mean, we see a lot of insurance cases.
Right. So we don't know whom those parties may be. We don't even know when we get this complaint that Nucor is an additional insured. It's not until they provide and request a defense. And even if we were aware, Nucor has done nothing to request a defense from HDI until May 10th of 2000.
I guess I'm a little confused then, because I guess I'm confused. I was thinking Nucor was named in the policy, and therefore there they are. And so that's how they got kicked out from their insurance contract. In other words, the policy defines coverage under the insurance contract. We'll indemnify DES based on anybody or any indemnity obligation they have under a contract, but for anybody other than an insured. I mean, so what you're saying is very circular. If the insurance company takes the position that we don't know that Nucor is out there, we don't know that they're an additional insured, how in the world do you deny DES the benefits of that insurance contract that they have with Nucor based on the definition that Nucor is? In other words, how does the insurance company know Nucor is an additional insured, so therefore we don't have to pay DES under that contract, but yet you're now saying we don't know who the additional insureds are because it's defined by the contract? I'm thoroughly confused at this point as to what coverage the insurance company is providing under either provision.
Let's be clear, Your Honor. Once we were put on notice, we agreed, if you're asking the coverages that are provided and were provided in this case, when we were put on notice of Nucor requesting a defense, We agree.
What Nucor requested was, DES, please pay us under the contract we have with DES.
And that made its way to HDI, and HDI did not clue about whom they requested it from. It was clear that they wanted a defense under that. At that point, they were requesting defense and indemnity under the indemnity agreement, and we received notice via DES, or counsel for DES, that they were making that request. We didn't, at that point, argue, you didn't make the request. It came via
DES. Yeah, but they don't have to under the insurance contract. They don't have to do that at all. Tender dates and all that sort of thing, pre and post, don't come into play under the insurance contract that independent contractor agreement, the ICA, that DES had with Nucor.
You are correct. And specifically, it's the opposite. That we don't have, they don't have to, but we're not a party to the ICA.
But I thought what you were just telling Judge Elrod is that we don't know who the additional insureds are, because the additional insureds are everybody under one of these contracts.
Everyone with whom they have a contract that requires indemnity. It's a blanket endorsement. We recognize them as an additional insurance.
All right, so, but then
contract is insurance.
But then those insurance contracts then don't, there is no insurance contract coverage for indemnity under the policy, because by definition, is this what you're saying? Anybody covered by one of these contracts, DES and Nucor, Nucor is an additional insured, we don't cover any of those contracts.
I believe we provide that coverage, but we accept from that coverage the attorney's fees, is what the language of the policy does, because we do not...
What coverage is there, then, that the insurance company is obligated to pay DES for indemnifying Nucor?
We settled the case on behalf of both parties and achieved the dismissal of both parties from the litigation by paying indemnity benefits due under the policy on behalf of both DES and Nucor. And we've agreed to pay their attorney's fees from the date that they requested a defense forward, which is what our obligations are under the policy. And the law. And the law clearly states that that obligation to provide a defense, pay for the defense, is triggered by you requesting it. And that's for any insured under any policy, whether it be a named insured.
Well, sure,
additional
but
insured.
I guess, so what you're saying is the insurance, I see two tracks here. Basically, the obligations the insurance company owes to insureds to provide coverage as defined by the policy. And there's this insurance contract, the independent contractor agreement that DES entered with Nucor. And the insurance company says, well, we'll cover DES for indemnity obligations under those contracts. But what I hear you saying now is that doesn't include attorney's fees. It doesn't include the cost of defense. It doesn't include those things. It only includes certain things. And if you want to travel as far as cost of defense, et cetera, you've got to travel as an additional insured. Not as a contractual.
Contractual liability coverage covers the indemnity. It's covered as an additional insured, and it's covered under contractual liability obligations under the policy.
But you're saying
with
that
the contractual liability, I'm sorry, Your Honor.
You're saying that to get your full cost of defense, you've got to give notice as though you were an additional insured, regardless of what the insurance contract says.
I think under any circumstance, you need to provide notice that you're seeking a defense in order to trigger.
But where does the policy say that with regard to coverage of an insurance contract?
The policy does not state that, but the policy does state that if you're insured, the contractual liability coverage does not provide for attorney's fees. You get that as an insured, you then recognize an insured under the policy and have to follow the provisions of the policy as if you're insured for that obligation. It doesn't go away, we're still going to provide it, but as if you were insured under the policy.
I'm following you now.
And that's precisely what the language says. It says solely for the purposes of liability assumed in an insured contract. And let's be clear, before that, it recognizes that liability can include attorney's fees. Reasonable attorney's fees and necessary litigation expenses incurred by or for a party other than an insured are deemed to be damages. So we're saying we're going to be responsible for attorney's fees, but if you're insured, you're going to be treated as an insured under the policy. And there is no issue in this case that Nucor is an insured under the policy, be it an additional insured endorsement, which not only makes them an additional insured, but then treats them
has an insured under the policy.
I'm with you.
And again, just as a practical matter, insurance companies, and as you've recognized, this is not an uncommon issue, an additional insured. They don't know who is an additional insured out in the world until they're presented with a situation and put on notice of it. And they have no legal obligation. It would be impossible for insurance companies to meet that obligation if they had to go check every suit filed to see if potentially one of those.
I don't think anybody's arguing that. I think the issue was when it was delivered specifically to the one entity, was that satisfactory? It wasn't talking about going to the court rolls and looking at lawsuits. It was much narrower than that.
No, and you're correct, Ron. That's what the law requires. It is narrower than that, and it requires notice. You need to ask for the defense. The insurance company cannot impose the defense. When you request it, we will provide it.
Thank you. I believe we have your argument, and opposing counsel has saved some time for rebuttal. Thank you.
Thank you. First of all, Judge Ho, you had asked some questions about the Gully decision. I got to retract. There is a way, actually, you don't have to remand it back. Gully was looked at in Peavy, which is a Fifth Circuit decision. It's cited in the brief. And in Peavy, what this honorable court said is that they said the Zurich Insurance argued that under Gully, okay, they didn't have to pay pre-tender legal fees. What this court says, we're not persuaded by the insurer's arguments and find the district court's judgment should not be changed. The district court actually awarded pre-tender, okay, attorney fees where there was no prejudice. This honorable court, and that relied upon a case of Africa ago, it's called Rovira, I guess, R-O-V-I-R-A. It's in the brief also, where it said, Rovira, another court found that the insured is liable for pre-notification attorney fees since it was not prejudiced by the insured's delay. And everybody agrees here there's no prejudice to HDI. So if Judge Afric erred in following Gully and not following Peavy and Rivora, and also Judge Barbier in the Eastern District has actually held, I think it's called American Risk, that he's bound by the Fifth Circuit, and if there's no prejudice, then you got to pay the pre-notification fees. So that's one of the errors we raised. On the consent to settle, obviously, this is nothing voluntary about this, okay, first of all, that by contract, and everybody agrees, in fact, as HDI even tells, you know, Nucor, you've got an insured contract, so they've got to defend and indemnify you, okay, and though you didn't ask for it, you're also an additional insured under our policy. So there's no voluntary payment here, the $135,000. The contract obligated them to do that. The judge kept saying it was a settlement. If somebody gives you a bill and says it's $135,000, pay it, and you pay it, that's not a settlement. That's just paying a bill.
Go back to PV. What page are you looking at in PV? You're looking at 1178?
Let me see. The PV motion is in a thing is in, on the order. Can I get our brief real quick?
You're directing us to PV, and I see in PV at page 1178, we agree that the insurer's duty to defend does not arise until it receives notice of a claim or suit.
That's right. The duty to defend does not arise, okay? But if you're not prejudiced, what the PV court says, you've got to pay the pre-tender fee, legal fees and costs. Okay. That's what I read to you from the PV decision itself, where Zurich cited Gully, the Fifth Circuit said no, this honorable court said no, the district court was right, you got to pay the pre-notification fees, and then they cited to Rivora, and Judge Barbier has followed PV and said that he's bound by the Fifth Circuit. If there's no prejudice to the insurer, you've got to pay the pre-notification fees. And that's in the brief in more detail. One thing, Judge Wilson, on the, we talked about the insurer under the contractual liability coverage. If you look at the notification, though, and I think it's in section 2 of the insurance policy, and if you look in the motion for reconsideration file, in the original opinion, Judge Afric said it, insured, 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 And if you look, though, what the policy says, it says you. In the policy, you is the named insured. And everything they say about giving us notice and everything says you, which is DES. Okay, it's not HDI. The only time, it's not Nucor. The only time they say is that at one point in section, they say you, meaning Nucor, DES, and the insurer, okay, which would mean Nucor. When they said that, though, they said, you got to give us a copy of the lawsuit. Well, they already had a copy of the lawsuit because DES and Nucor were in the lawsuit. So what they're saying was, okay, fine, you get to give us a copy. If you don't give us a copy of the lawsuit that we've already got and we're defending, you know, claims against DES, you know, you haven't given us notice. And we briefed notice in there quite a bit, too. On the duties of a insured, in our briefly cited to the Kelly versus State Farm, the Louisiana Supreme Court, goes through that the insurer has a fiduciary duty to its insurer to conduct an investigation, okay, to protect its insured, okay, and so we about that. I'm out of time now. So.
Thank you, counsel. We have your argument. We have both arguments. We appreciate them, and the case is submitted. And the court will stand in recess until tomorrow morning. Thank you.
Thank you.